Inheritance. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the American Legion, presents a story out of that great composite of visions, struggles, and victories of the American past. Our inheritance. Yes, we Americans are heirs to a vast fortune. A fortune composed of many things. Of young Franklin and poor Richard's almanac. Of Washington crossing the ice-choked Delaware. And the voice of a great bell proclaiming liberty. The Vanderbilt Cup races on Long Island. And the sportsmanship of our great football games. Let us now go back to a significant chapter in America's history, one which we all share in our inheritance. Tonight, we would like to tell the story of an early air flight. A flight which involved not only the stamina of planes, but which was also a test of human endurance and stamina. By attempting something which had never been done before, five men left us an inheritance of courage, faith, and determination. The story can best be told by facts gleaned from the actual log of the flight. To tell this story, we must go back 26 years to 1928, the year Mickey Mouse was born, and Al Jolson introduced his Sonny Boy. One morning in October, a young Air Corps maintenance officer sat in his office at Bowling Field and stared out the window at the clear blue sky. His name? Captain Ira Aker.
Come in.
Morning, Ira. No. Sit still. For a minute there, I thought I was going to have to break down the door.
I'm sorry, Troy, I didn't hear you. Sit down.
Thanks. Well, okay, kid, what's up? You worried about a promotion or something?
Oh, major spots. I'm not worried about a promotion. But I do have something on my mind.
I thought so. Okay, let's have it.
Tui, what would happen if somebody went up in a plane and kept going?
What do you mean, kept going?
Just that.
You mean without coming down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what would your somebody do for gas and oil? Feed it to the plane intravenously?
Yeah, something like that.
Huh?
He'd get his gas and oil through a feed line running from another plane.
In midair?
Why not?
Well, you think it'd work?
I don't know, but it's worth a try.
What would it prove?
A couple of things. How much of a beating the working parts of a plane in flight can take. The practicability of long-range flying.
Go on.
Well, after all, it's not so much the time on the ground refueling that cuts down on flying time as it is the gliding down to earth, then getting back up again to the proper altitude.
Uh-huh. All right, go ahead. I'm still listening.
So if mid-air refueling proves successful, it would mean that fuel cargoes could be sacrificed for additional freight and passenger loads. I've been thinking about a mid-air refueling endurance flight for days now.
Sounds foolproof to hear you tell it.
Do you think General Fouché would go for it?
Why not? He's chief of the Air Corps, isn't he?
Look, since he's your boss, do you think you could feel him out on the idea?
Well, I'll do better than that. Ira, you sit down and write a staff memo. Outline the whole plan, the equipment you'd need, the crews, supplies, anything else you can think of. You put it all down on paper, and I'll see that the old man gets it.
Okay.
One more thing, Ira.
Yeah.
Don't forget to tell him I'm going with you. Ira, it's all set.
What?
Fouché went for it all the way, just as you wrote it down. Look, here, see?
Base of operation, Rockwell Field, California.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. During the month of January 1929. In general, the route will cover the area from San Diego to Los Angeles. Third leg to Imperial Valley in case of bad weather along the coast. We're in, Tui.
You bet we are. Fouché's okayed the crew, too. I'll be at the controls with Lieutenant Harry Halverson. You and Lieutenant Elwood Quesada will handle the refueling. Sergeant Ray Ho will be the mechanic.
Excellent. Glad Sergeant Ho will be along. He knows his job.
He sure does.
Yeah.
I can just hear him giving orders to the repair hangar crew.
Yeah, that's what I said. And I'll tell you again so you can get it through those thick skulls of yours. I want a catwalk on both sides of the plane and a platform running clear around the nose so I can work on the motors. What'd you think I wanted them for? To do a trapeze act?
The necessary repairs were made, technical details ironed out, and the test plane was ready to be christened. It was Mrs. Aker who suggested that they call the plane the Question Mark. The week before Christmas, the crew reported to the commander of Rockwell Field at Coronado, California. And on the last day of December, everything was ready.
January 1, 1929. This is the first entry in the log of the Question Mark. We took off at 7:27, weather clear, north wind 25 mph, air bumpy up to 1,000 feet. 2,500 foot altitude reached 19 minutes after takeoff. First refueling contact at 8:14 for 6 minutes at 1,900 feet. Aker.
Get ready, Quesada. Your refueling plane's almost over us.
Air's kind of bumpy, Major.
Yeah, I know, but we'll try it anyhow. Ready on the pump, Sergeant Ho?
Ready, Major.
Here comes Lieutenant Moon's plane. Oh, hold her down, Ira.
Right.
That's better. Right, steady. Steady. Now he's directly over us. Sergeant, single for the hose.
Here it comes.
Hold it. Hold it. We hit a downdraft.
I'll say we did.
All right, let's try it again. Ira, cut your speed a little more. Let Moon catch up with us. Okay. Now he's in position again. Sergeant?
Already signaled him, Major.
Easy now. Easy. Hold it. Hold another downdraft.
Something tells me this refueling's going to be rough.
Yeah, it's bound to be at first until we feel our way through. Okay, try it once more. Ira? Here goes again.
Good luck.
Ready on the pump, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Here comes the hose. Steady. Watch it, Quesada.
Watching.
Okay. Grab it.
Got it.
Good. Sergeant, give him the signal for the gasoline. Steady.
Yeah, Major, we've hit a downdraft.
Yeah, we're pulling away.
Look out, Major! The hose is spraying gasoline! Yeah. Major, you're getting drenched. We're going down to get you to a hospital.
No. We're gonna keep going. Ira, take her up again.
Hey, that gasoline must burn like the devil.
No, it's all right. Here, give me a hand.
What are you gonna do?
Help me get my clothes off, all of them.
Yes, sir.
Oh?
Yes, Major.
Get the zinc oxide out of the first aid kit. I'm gonna need it.
O'clock. Major Spots was treated for the dry gasoline burns. Fortunately, nothing serious. Blackboard ship circled Question Mark at 12:10 with the following message chalked on the side. Don't forget Rose Bowl.
For you folks who tuned in late, it's still the second quarter in this close battle between the Golden Tornado team from Georgia Tech and the Golden Bears of California. The score is still 7-6 in favor of California. It's Georgia's ball on their own 40-yard line. Here comes the play. Signals are called. Ball snapped back. Thompson has the ball. Uh-oh, it's a fumble, and it's recovered by Regals of California. Regals is circling to the right. He's... Wait a minute. Something's wrong down there. But Regals is running the wrong way. He's headed for the California goal, his own goal. Halfback Benny Lamb is after him, but Regals is running in the clear. He's down to California's 30-yard line. The 20, 10, 5, and Lamb's got him down. Boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. 60 yards the wrong way.
Sure is a lot of activity down there in the Rose Bowl. There's players all over the field.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't mind seeing that game.
With Georgia Tech and Cal playing, I don't imagine there's much excitement, Hope.
Oh, no? Well, what do you say, Captain Aker?
Don't ask me. I'm from Texas.
Wednesday, January 2nd. The crew of the Question Mark is interested only in keeping their plane in the air. But on the ground, a Miss Virginia Lawler is concerned with another problem as she talks on the phone.
And let me tell you, Helen, I was plenty burned up. I buy a new dress and Frankie breaks our date. Well, I know, but when will I ever get to wear it? If Frankie thinks I'm going to wait around for him to ask me again, he's got another guest coming. Hey, look, I've got an idea. Why don't you and I go out on the town tonight? Yeah, just the two of us. We can have that special dollar steak dinner at whatchamacallit's on Hollywood Boulevard. And afterwards, we'll catch the new bill at Grauman's Egyptian. It's something with Buddy Rogers and Mary Bryan. Or we could go to the Chinese and see Noah's Ark. What do you say, Helen? Good. I'll be over at 8:30 and we'll really do it up right. Yeah, the sky's the limit.
8:30 p.m. Turn controls over to Quesada at 7:30 as we approach the Los Angeles Metropolitan Airport. Drop message to tell number 2 plane to stand by for 1 a.m. refueling in case Rockwell Field fogged in. Air very bumpy over San Fernando Valley. The battery is getting very weak. We may have to refuel with flashlights. Relieved Halverson at 1 a.m. for refueling. Difficult to make contact. Very bumpy. Our battery has run out. Have no lights aboard now, so have to use flashlights. It's pretty cold now. It was very monotonous circling this small valley. Sun rose at 6:58.
Thursday, January 3rd. It is early morning at the corner of Hollywood and Vine.
Here it is. Get your morning paper. Weatherman says fog blowing in from Florida. Read all about it. Congress to vote on Kellogg anti-war treaty. Get your morning paper. Question mark starts Thursday over Los Angeles.
Quesada relieved Halverson, 8 a.m. The refueling last night was the most severe test we could have. But we came through fine. Fog creeping up toward the airport. 12:05. Drop message telling Hoyt's refueling plane to move to Imperial Valley with us at 1:30 with 150 gallons of gas for the question mark after we cross mountains. We'll remain there until weather clears.
Looks like we've got us one Lulu of a storm, Ho.
Yeah, everything happens to us.
What downdrafts they got over this valley?
Yeah, remind me of the rodeos back home.
Captain Aker.
Huh?
Do you think we're actually proving anything with this flight? Or are we just kidding ourselves?
We're proving one thing for sure, Ho.
Yeah?
A human body is a pretty tough machine.
What about the airplane?
We're still up in the air, aren't we?
p.m. rode out the thunderstorm. Now bucking bad wind. Lose from 500 to 1,500 feet in no time at all. We'll do well to get through the night. 8:34. Quesada and I exchanged grins just now. 61 hours and we've hung up a new record. But what a night to do it in.
Friday, January 4th. Mr. and Mrs. Charles Ellis are at breakfast.
Oh, Charlie, before I forget it, I want you to stop for a few things on the way home. Oh, now, it'll only take you a few minutes. Here, I'll write it down so you won't forget. See, now, I want a pound of butter, and that's 27 cents. Dear, 4 rib chops, and you better get thick ones. And that'll be about 55 cents. Expensive, dear me. Now, about 3 pounds of bananas, and they're 5 cents a pound. Oh, and Charlie, if you see... Charlie, Oh, for pity's sake, are you asleep behind that paper again? You just got up. Well, all I can say, it's a good thing everyone doesn't sleep as much as you do. I'll bet even the men up there in the question mark don't sleep as much.
9 a.m. Major Spots is getting a much-needed rest. Halverson is pilot. Major Spots and Cassata will fly this afternoon to allow Halverson and me to catch up on sleep we've lost. 9:30 p.m. Major Spots took controls from 7 to 9. Spent time circling San Fernando Valley, 30 minutes a circle. We're feeling well. The human being is most adaptable. The days pass without appreciable wear.
Saturday, January 5th. A smoke-filled nightclub in Los Angeles.
Thanks, folks. Thanks. Thanks a lot. You know, I hate to play and run, but it's almost 1:30 a.m. And as I look around into your beautiful bloodshot eyes... Eesh. But seriously, folks, before we close up for the night, I'd like to play a mighty wonderful tune for you. It's a brand new one called Let's Do It from Cole Porter's Broadway show Paris. I'd like to dedicate it to the crew of the question mark up there. Because if those guys were flying in a straight line instead of in circles, well, they'd be in Paris by now.
Well, Sergeant Ho, it's now 1:30 a.m. You realize that by tomorrow morning at this time, we will have been up here well over 100 hours. That is, with any degree of luck.
Don't worry none about being lucky, Major. I took care of that.
Oh, what do you mean?
Look. A rabbit's foot. Yeah. Got another one in the tail skid, one near the tanks, one...
Wait a minute. How many of those things do you have around here?
Who knows? I got them all over the ship.
You know, I think Mrs. Aker misnamed the ship, Ho. We should have called it the Rabbit Hutch.
It's 11:45 a.m., Tui. In a few seconds, we pass the 100-hour mark.
Yeah, it feels like we just got up here.
It's funny, Major.
What is, Cassata?
The longer we stay up, the longer we want to. Who knows? Maybe we'll never want to go down.
Want to bet, Lieutenant?
Whoa. How can you feel that way, Sergeant Ho, when we're making history?
We are?
Why, certainly. Look at the telegrams of congratulations they sent up to us. One from Secretary Davis and Mr. Adamson of the War Department. General Summerall.
Okay, but send them back a message for me, will you, Major?
What is it?
Tell them thanks and ask them to send up another gross of pencils. I got a lot of letter writing to do.
7 p.m. Cassata relieved by Halverson. One engine looks all right, but it doesn't sound so good. For the past few days, the engines haven't been working so well. Looks as though the human being is going to outlast the engines. 9:40 p.m. Cleaned the plugs by opening the engines wide. Probably saved us from going down. The engines seem much better now.
6th. A radio reporter gives the news of the day.
And now for the local news. A sudden wave of flagpole sitting has hit the nation, and here in Los Angeles, Tom Smith, 32, has been on his perch for 15 days. When asked how long he intended to stay up there, Smith said, "As long as the question mark does."
What the...
Hey, Major Spots!
Huh?
We just lost a window!
What? Well, button up your jacket, Ho. Break out another case of rabbit's feet, Cassata.
Yes, Major?
Better stand watch for a while.
Jack,
keep a general all-around lookout.
4,400 feet. Weather cold with high clouds. Relieved Halverson, 135. Halverson helped Ho fix window. Ho is standing by. Although our gas consumption per hour is high, we should be good until daylight now.
Monday, January 7th. A representative of the War Department stands outside the control tower at Rockwell Field looking up at the sky.
Good morning, sir.
What? Oh, good morning.
I'm Bill Henry of the Los Angeles Times.
Oh, yes, Mr. Henry. Nice to meet you. I enjoy your reporting very much.
Well, thank you. Well, I see the question mark is still going strong up there.
It certainly is.
Another 18 hours or so, and they will have been up there a week, won't they?
That's right. And this flight has been quite a revelation to the War Department, Mr. Henry.
Oh, how do you mean, sir?
Well, it opens the way for many benefits in the air travel of the future. The ability of planes to take off behind a fighting front, for example, with heavy cargoes of war material, but with light loads of gasoline, which will be replenished in the air.
I see, sir.
The same would hold true for planes at sea, which could be refueled from other carrier-based planes.
Are there any other benefits this flight may have contributed to the future of aviation? Commercial flights, for example. Would you say, sir,
just
that...
a moment, Mr. Henry.
What is it?
Look, up there. Isn't that the question mark coming in over the field?
Where? Well, yes. Yes, it is.
Yes. From the sound of the engines, I'd say they were having a little trouble up there.
It's left engine, Major Spots. It isn't going to hold out much longer.
You think it'll keep going until we finish refueling?
I don't know, sir.
Looks like it's serious this time, Major. The hand on the tachometer has dropped from 1,500 RPMs to 1,450, and it's still falling.
I don't see how we can take on any more fuel, sir. Feel how she's beginning to sag?
Yes. Quesada, you better tell Captain Baker we're going to cut off the rest of the load.
Yes, sir.
And tell him to try for more altitude.
Right.
Alperson?
Yes, sir.
Give him the signal to pull up the hose. We're cutting off the rest of the load.
Okay, Major.
Oh, ho.
Yes, sir.
Change in orders. You better tell Captain Baker to prepare to lose altitude.
Seems funny to be heading toward Earth.
Sure does.
Kind of hate to see the flight coming to an end.
Poe tied the bottoms of his trousers with friction tape. It was cool and nonchalant. Then he got out on the catwalk and started working. Quesada handed him the tools he needed through the open window. The ship slipped from 5,000 to 2,500 feet. Then Ho crawled back into the plane.
It's no use, Major. There's nothing I can do.
I didn't think so. Well, now you better tell Captain Baker to take her down.
Yeah.
Well, we couldn't stay up there forever, could we?
No, Major. Feel like I could have.
Me too.
Say, how long have we been up there, Major?
Let's see. 150 hours, 40 minutes, and 14 seconds.
That silence I hear, Major?
Yes. Yes, Ho. It's going to take us a little while to get used to it.
Well, we better get ready to answer a million questions, Tui. There's quite a mob of people heading this way.
The price of fame, Ira. Guess we might as well face them. Oh, you better come along, too, Ho. We'll turn the question mark over to the ground crew.
Look, Major Spots, if it's all the same to you, sir.
Yes?
Well, I took care of her when she was in the air, and I'll take care of her on the ground.
All right, Ho. She's all yours.
Thank you, sir. Okay, fellas, let's go.
Ira, just a minute.
What?
There's just one thing I'd like to say.
Yeah, Tui.
Thanks for the buggy ride.
The flight of the question mark was finished. The five-man crew had flown and refueled under every conceivable weather condition and opened the way for long-range flying made possible by in-flight refueling. In 1949, the Strategic Air Command announced the successful continuous flight around the world of the Lady Luck. The flight covered almost 23,500 miles and involved four air refuelings. In 1950, 747 refueling hookups were made in the air. Since then, the number of refuelings have increased until this year, when during the first 3 months, the Strategic Air Command completed close to 7,000 hookups, averaging one hookup every 5 minutes, 24 hours a day, in practically every kind of weather. These are mighty impressive figures indeed. But we must not forget the flight of the question mark in 1929. A flight which left us an inheritance of courage, stamina, and determination. An inheritance which has helped us build the greatest Air Force in the world. You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. We are privileged this evening to hear from the National Vice Commander of the American Legion, Department of North Carolina, Mr. Thomas W. Byrd.
It is an honor to appear as Legion Speaker on Inheritance, a historical radio program which reflects the courage and fortitude, both moral and physical, of the American people. I'd like to pay tribute tonight to the over 20 million veterans of this country who have protected our inheritance. Since our early beginnings, freedom has been threatened many times, but it has never been lost. I do not say that the 20 million war veterans in this country have been solely responsible for maintaining it. Any citizen may, by word or deed, protect this precious inheritance. A man who defends the religious rights of another against slander helps to secure America's freedom. Parents who teach their children the rights and duties of citizenship ensure freedom for America's tomorrow. There are those, however, who have had the privilege and who have accepted the responsibility of defending freedom when it has come under the hostile attack of foreign aggressors. The American Legion, in its vast rehabilitation program, concerns itself not only with the welfare of its own 3 million members, but with all veterans. For this reason, it has no equal in its aid to the disabled veterans, war widows, orphans, dependent bereaved parents, and in fact to all ex-servicemen and women and their families. It is significant that our country does provide for those who defend the rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In these United States, the champions of freedom are not forgotten. Then, this is our inheritance, that we are a people who prize our freedom, and that we are a people who provide for those who defend it.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas W. Byrd. Next week, Inheritance will take you on another journey through the pages of history to a time when Americans dreaming of the future forged that which we possess today. Today's story, Flight to Nowhere, was written by Milt Kahn. Whitfield Connor was featured as Captain Ira Aker, John Daner as Major Carl Spotts, Sam Edwards as Lieutenant Elwood Quesada, Joe Cranston as Lieutenant Harry Halverson, Frank Gerstle as Sergeant Ray Ho. Others in the cast were Charles Smith, Ann Whitfield, Jack Carroll, Alice Rolfe, and Howard Culver. The original music was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Inheritance is produced and directed for the National Broadcasting Company and the American Legion by Albert McCleary. This is John Wall speaking. Tonight, hear Meet the Press with Senator Homer Ferguson on the NBC Radio Network.